Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. It's always up in the air. And hello, Pam, and hello, Kate. It's good to have you both. And
Hello, hello.
Naomi's not with us tonight because she's not feeling very well. And hopefully she'll be back soon. And I'll speedy recovery to you, Naomi. So, here we are. And with that, I'm going to hand it all over to Pam.
We got a great lineup of poetry. Naomi ran a contest for us on a pre-writes contest on the theme of a simple moment yet extraordinary. And I did read through the contest entries, and I have to say that we are definitely in for a wonderful night of poetry. And with that being said, I'll go ahead and put up our first poem, which is The Front Porch by Gary Adcock. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, of course, happy to. The Front Porch. Oh, picture's neat. Right. The old man on the front porch sits and waves as cars go by. No one ever stops to visit. He doesn't care, nor wonder why. Lost his wife of 50 years. Dreams and reality now intertwine. Heart and mind traveling back to his younger days of 1969. Sea of people in a field, a rock concert known as Woodstock. Distant land called Vietnam. Soldiers fight around the clock. Music became the voice of protest, opposition to the war. Brave soldiers leaving home, proud of the uniform they wore. It was a time of turmoil, but a young man's beliefs held strong. What others thought did not matter. He knew right from wrong. Injured while trying to save his platoon from an enemy attack. Unconscious soldier loaded onto a Huey, never to come back. Awakening in a hospital, he stares into loving, deep blue eyes. With a gentle hand squeeze, his words take her by surprise. Through the pains of war, I found the person meant for me. They married after a few short months. The rest, now history. The old man on the front porch takes one last breath of air. A world caught up in itself, in themselves, no one seems to be aware. In his hand, he cradles a purple heart and two wedding rings. An angel with loving deep blue eyes awaits as heaven sings. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Kate. Thank you. And what a beautiful story write by Gary Adcock. I really like his attention to detail. This makes me think about the idea of how so oftentimes we don't really truly know enough about the people around us. You know, especially when it comes to elderly neighbors. I like that he gives us a story of a man who lived through, who served his country in the Vietnam War, who, you know, the turmoil that he went through, and the love that he found afterwards. And, you know, it's such some really poignant moments in here, and especially near the end where it says in his hands he cradles a purple heart and two wedding rings. An angel with loving deep blue eyes awaits as heaven sings. You know, just a beautiful write on the idea of a life lived and someone who just sets themselves apart from society, knowing that there's hope that he will be reunited with his wife, you know, after in the next life. So beautifully written and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a great write, a touching tale told. And, you know, I was looking at all the stanzas and I'm like, that's a good one, that's a good one, that's a good one. But man, you just can't beat that last one where he tied it up so beautifully. You know, the old man on the front porch takes one last breath of air. I'm not going to read the rest because you just quoted those lines. But that was just an incredible way to wind this thing up, you know, put a bow on it and give it to us. Just beautifully done. So thank you so much for that, Gary Adcock. It's a pleasure to read the piece.
my friend.
And Kate, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Oh, it was a pleasure to read. It was another one of those very easy poems to read. Nothing to trip you up. Beautiful rhyming and lovely flow. Beautiful story told. I mean, really. I don't think this kind of thing would be able to be written, say, 20 years from now, because there isn't that same kind of dedication and work put into marriages. I don't think, that's my personal opinion. Mm. You know, things get tough. People can, because it's easy now. You know, people have their own jobs, and they, you know, so it's easy to go, well, I'm fed up with this, I'm walking out. Whereas in those days, it wasn't expected to do that. You're expected to be together and love each other. So I think it's just a beautiful telling of a tale of somebody who did a wonderful job, and obviously was a great husband. And you know, you think about it. That first, was it the first stanza? The old man on the front porch sits and waves as cars go by, no one ever stops to visit. He doesn't care, nor wonder why. And that, you know, that's him. He's got his life, his memories, and he doesn't really care otherwise. So I thought it was beautifully done. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good comment. All right. And up next we have Warm Words by A.R. Mundell. And Jean, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Warm Words by A.R. Mundell. Murmurs of clinking glass, sunlight through glass sheets as cars drive by. Waitress comes and goes, and my screen lights as I scroll through my section of netted void. Waiting for a friend, warm conversation, my order to fall from my tongue and be brought to on a tray. I turn the screen to dunce distractions as words warmed by sunlight. And years of kinship pass between us once more. Happy hour. Two virgin mocktails, pineapple and coconut mixed unappealingly, souring my tongue but not souring my words. Company enough to endure missing sweetness, that tart disappointment. Reminds me you're leaving to a place too far, and that days such as these are finite and precious. So I savor that flavor, savor our time, and savor the hope that you'll be fine. And phone.
Great read, Jean, and what a beautiful write by Amy Mundell. And Kate, your thoughts?
Another beautiful poem about something that, you know, is wonderful but hurts. Obviously a friend is going to live at some distance, so they're not going to be able to meet up for their virgin mocktail or something. They're wonderful. And having a good gossip, because she's going to miss her so much. It's terrible when that happens, but these days at least you've got Skype and stuff. But I thought it was very well written, and you could tell how much she cared in this poem, how much she cared about the friendship. Very well written, Amy. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment. And your thoughts, Jean?
Oh, that's one's thoughts, too. You hearing that, Kate? I thought this was a wonderful piece by Amy. And I thought her analogy throughout was great, that pina colada with that you know, tart and sweet flavors and you know, the same thing of the relationship. You know, it's pleasant, but the sour part is the parting of ways. So I think she put that out there very nicely. So great job there, Amy. And, you know, the story is, it's sweet. You know, it's because you can tell that they're friends and they feel close throughout the piece. So I think it was just a nicely penned piece. And thanks for sharing with us. Absolutely.
It truly was. Yeah, great comment. You know, this is a wonderful write and a thoughtful write on friendship and the importance of spending time together. But as you both were mentioning, it goes on a deeper level because, you know, obviously the friend is moving some distance, and that one-on-one conversation, that face-to-face conversation, that getting together for the drinks isn't going to happen anymore, or at least it won't happen nearly as often. And I, too, was really drawn to that part about the virgin mocktails, pineapple and coconut mixed unappealingly, souring my tongue, but not souring my words. And I like that because it shows that it doesn't really matter, or, you know, what else is going on around you, as long as you're getting to communicate face-to-face with a close friend. That's the most important thing in the moment. I also liked the imagery that she put into the first stanza, and I thought it was quite clever wordplay where she says, "And my screen lights as I scroll through my section of netted void." You know, netted void, what a great phrase for describing, you know, the internet. So I thought that was very cool. So wonderful write all the way through and very well done.
Yeah.
All right. And let's see what we have next. All right. We have We Chat Long by Randa Yazri. Perching, throwing the fishing line, recalling all the best old times and the highly attentive social lake, my blithe tail splash against its pier. It's a festive glee the golden coin sun offers spectacular, glossy displays throughout the fragrant forest with shredded pieces of paper clouds festooning the vast plate sky. The lazy pirogue lays on the bayou, sunbathing, enjoying the languor of a siesta on a breezy summer day. A battalion of trees, a tire leafy, lime shirt sleeves, lining up stately for the homecoming parade. The live, well-trained band of chuckling robins chirps country music with passion. Lurking gators station themselves on the swamp, patrolling its banks to guard the celebrity cabin. In such relaxing surroundings that possess the secret of pleasant marvels, my mind jumps up with an ecstatic salute. And poem. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a nice piece. I think it was a great take on this image. As well. I'm sitting there. I think in your voice, I heard you hesitate for a second about a pirogue. I'm going, what is that? And she anticipated me saying, what is that? Because down here is a dugout canoe type boat used to get around in the shallow swamp water. See that? Asking, you shall receive. And I thought that was, I was thankful for that. I'm like, what is that? But definitely wonderful imagery throughout this piece. And great thoughts as well. The live, well-trained band of chuckling robins chirps country music with passion. But that was a kind of a cute couplet. Wow, my brain. And then lurking gators station themselves on the swamp, patrolling its banks to guard the celebrity cabin. And I just thought it was, I thought it was clever. I thought it was well done. And nice work, Rhonda. Definitely a nice piece. I'm here. And it's soothing thoughts. There you go.
Thank you, Lisa.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, that's a beautiful prompt picture. And she's obviously worked very hard on this one because it's a lovely flow. And I love the way she personifies is that the correct word? I hope so. The trees. I mean, obviously the robins with the country music. Great taste. And then you have the battalion of trees, a tired leafy lined shirt lining up for the homecoming parade. That's just lovely. Everything within that picture has been taken and used and in such a way that it just tells a wonderful story, which I really enjoyed. So thank you. And 130 words only. Wowzer. So yes, beautifully done. And thank you for sharing, Rhonda.
Yeah, definitely a well-used 130 words. So great comment. And, yeah, I really like the emotion and the imagery in this. I think my favorite imagery was a battalion of trees, attire leafy lime, shirt sleeves, lining up stately for the homecoming parade. And I like the motion put in it, the end line, my mind jumps up with an ecstatic salute. It really speaks on the idea of time spent together and time spent with nature, and how it kind of clears the mind and, you know, helps you to just relax and find joy. So wonderful, right? And very well done.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I guess the question is, did I grab the next poem? Probably not. Nope. All right. Let me go ahead and do that. All right. All right. Let's see what we got next. Ah, yes. How Much by Yashua Arya. And Kate, would you go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
I certainly will. How much? In love. As a whipped cream cake waiting for a finger, like a cliche being said for the first time. A bud at the beginning of pink, or a tear in round perfection. Holy, in love. End poem.
Beautiful read there, and what a wonderful brevity. Man, we have to have this person write, if they haven't already, write some stuff for your brevity show, Kate, because they seem to have a talent for it. I thought this had amazing imagery and metaphors, and really speaks on the idea of a love that waits, you know, I really like the beginning of pink, or tear in round perfection, holy in love. You know, I just there's something very delicate about the imagery, and I like that. It's beautifully written. And your thoughts, Jean?
You know, I thought this was just a wonderful brevity. As you said, there's something light about the wording throughout. And I'm intrigued by that when I see someone writing with softer words and making the same kind of an impact as someone who uses twice as many words. You know, they're not quite as subtle. I thought this was neat. The imagery was very relatable. You know, as whipped cream cake waiting for a finger, and I hope you can't relate to that. You know, you see this cake with wonderful whipped cream. And you know, it's just tempting, isn't it? Just tempting. For the first time. You know, really, I think that the concepts throughout this poem were nicely done. And it's not something that I'm used to seeing every day, you know, in words. So wonderful job, Joshua. And, just great work. Great work.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Kate, you did a beautiful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thank you. This was another delight to read. And you're quite correct in saying we have to ask for something to be done for our Keeping It Brief show, because this is just so well. I mean, I hate to say so well done, but I mean, it's so well conceived that the lines are, as a whipped cream cake waiting for a finger. Now, you know, exactly, that caught me. That got me in that first, the first two lines. I was hooked. I thought, right, what's coming next? Like a cliche being said for the first time. You don't think about it. You don't think about the fact that a cliche has to actually become a cliche because it's being used, as opposed to, you know, full blown. It's become. I thought that was wonderful. So altogether, beautifully done. And I'd like to hear more of this because it's really good. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. All right. And up next we have Love in a Smile by Dammit Dave. And Jean, will you give that a read for us, please?
Dammit Dave, he did it again. No, I'm kidding. I'm being bad. Here we go. I like Dammit Dave. I can read this, I think. I hope I don't trip myself up. Love in a Smile by Dammit Dave, a.k.a. many other things. I assume this is the prompt. A few nice words can help a person a lot more than you think. So here we go. I went down to the local park to get some sun today. There was a haggard woman there who slowly walked my way. I sat down on an old park bench to rest a little while. Then she sat down beside me and she flashed a toothless smile. She said she'd lost her husband. They'd been married 50 years. Why are you smiling? She replied, white-faced to tears. We chatted for an hour and she shared her memories. She even shared some breadcrumbs as she talked and fed the youth. She hugged me, then she smiled again and slowly walked away. And I found I was smiling too, for she had made my day. End poem. Yeah.
Great read there, Jean. And what a wonderful write by Dave, as always. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, this is just so sweet in its simplicity. I enjoyed this very much. It's somebody giving their time. As I've said before, you become a certain age and you become invisible. And you're of no use, basically, most of the time. So it's lovely to hear a reminder of how it's a good thing to talk to people who are older than you are, because they have so many tales, so much experience. Bear in mind, I'm not asking anybody to talk to me, because I'm an antisocial old lady. But yeah, it's beautiful. Really is. It's lovely. And the way it's written is just so relatable as well. It's just very nice. And damn it, Dave, you did it again, Dave.
Yes. Absolutely great comment. And Jean, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thanks. I really, I love Damn It Dave's work. I really do. You know, rhyme and his meter are always spot on. But I thought this had something a little more to me. First of all, I thought it was just fabulous. But I find that it's something, how lending an ear to someone can be so satisfying to yourself. The woman was probably so happy to have someone to listen. And I'm not saying this was a real story, but it is a real thought. You know, woman probably was so happy to have someone to talk to and to listen to her story. And as she said at the end, she had made my day. Because sometimes all it takes is one sentence from someone to change your perspective and your outlook in the rest of the day, or sometimes your life, it can change. So I think that this was just really wonderful. And I think Dave did a great job, as always. And I agree with Kate. Damn it, Dave, you did it again. Absolutely. Just saying.
Oh, I have to agree. And, Dave has done a wonderful job with this write. Great rhyme and flow. But what's especially impressive is the emotional depth of this, as you've both pointed out, the importance of sharing your time with somebody, and really taking time to have a little conversation with them And I think that's one of the most important things that we can give somebody is our time and a smile and a lending ear to just, listen to their story, listen to what they have to say. And this is beautifully written all the way through, but it's definitely those last two stanzas that really grabbed my attention. And, especially at the end where, and I found I was smiling too, for she had made my day. And, isn't that the way happiness goes and love goes? When you give it to other people, you feel it back. So wonderful. Absolutely, yes. So thank you, Dave. Glad you shared that with us. All right. And up next, we have Chocolate Kisses by Vamped Vixen. Afternoon Shangri-La, a sunny sidewalk coffee shop where I go skinny dipping in sweetest caramel hot chocolate. cocoa powder stains my lips, so I kiss it back. A Catholic schoolgirl afraid she'll get ridden up for swimming in sea salt whipped cream while she frolics on a lunch break. Cotton marshmallows shrink and melt by the sun held by my two hands. Fire slipping beneath my skin, mug cradled like the holy cradle. So unaware of pesky deadlines, voicemails to check, emails to send. The neighbor's dog barking and all the cold air of ice and icy enemies. It's just me, brown elixir, holding space for each other as we watch the crazy world go by. End poem. And what an absolutely beautiful write. And your thoughts, Jean?
You know, it's a great piece. It really is. I was reading that first stanza and I went, yeah. But then she got the cocoa powder stains my lips, so I kiss it back. A Catholic schoolgirl afraid she'll get written up for swimming in sea salt whipped cream while she frolics on a lunch break. But that was kind of relatable in some ways. I don't know. I guess I'm really hung up on the last two stanzas. I shouldn't say hung up, but I really like them. So unaware of pesky deadlines, voicemails to check, emails to send, the neighbor's dog barking, and all the cold air of ice enemies. It's just me and that dark brown elixir holding space for each other as we watch the crazy world go by. I mean, you talk about being lost in the decadence, right? I mean, you know, yep. Nothing else matters at this moment in time. Absolutely. And I think that was well captured here. So excellent job, Van Vixen. Just a great caption.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. It is nice. I mean, any kind of hot drink that you enjoy, you know, I feel that way anytime I have my alone time and I'm having some cocoa or coffee or a nice hot tea. You know, it's just something very relaxing for the spirit and the mind. So, great comment. And your thoughts, Kate?
That was beautifully read, and it was a really lovely poem about that feeling you get when you're not doing the things you perhaps should be. But I don't think this could ever have come together if we didn't have that juxtaposition of the guilt of, you know, a Catholic schoolgirl's guilt because she's having fun. So you wouldn't even be able to write this without that coming into it first. So I thought that was very well thought out and very well written. And cotton marshmallows shrink and melt. By the sun, by my two hands. Isn't that great? So she's basically, she's got this lovely heat in her hands and she's also got that sweetness. Oh, who could ask for more? So yes, I thought it was beautifully done. Thank you for sharing.
Right? I'm thinking now that I want to have some hot cocoa for breakfast tomorrow.
I'll bring the rum.
Oh, God, there you go. We can use a little Godiva, you know, liqueur. That would be good too, Kate.
Mm. But I really liked your observations, Kate, about the juxtaposition and how you first have to bring up the Catholic schoolgirl guilt and to lead into the part of being able to relax. Because I think that is so true. Many people, and it does seem to be something that women tend towards more, is we feel like we always have to prove ourselves to society by getting everything done, by being constantly busy. So I thought that was a great observation on your part because it allows for us to see how important the ending is in that she's learned to take time to relax and take care of herself rather than meeting other people's needs all the time. Wonderful imagery and metaphors all the way through. And I really did like the description of of the mug, cotton marshmallows shrink and melt by the sun held by my two hands, fire slipping beneath my skin, mug cradled like the holy cradle. You know, wonderful lines and just a great rite of finding time away from the hustle and bustle of life. You know, very well done.
I'm just so very pleased I made an observation.
You did.
How cool is that? Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. If we were actually physically next to each other right now, we'd be all high-fiving.
Kate, put the rum away. Put the rum away.
Step away from the rum.
Step away from the rum.
I will do that.
Oh,
don't
my worry. God. That's funny. That was cute.
Too funny.
Yeah.
All right. And up next we have People Watching by Just Poppy. And Kate, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
I certainly will. That's a great handle, isn't it? Just Poppy. Who are you? I'm Just Poppy. Okay, seriously. People watching. Slouching in a cafe, people watching. A sigh falls from my lips and mixes with my Starbucks coffee. Beguiling conversation, pried from the lips of blue-collar bohemians. Wiggle into my ears, promising what I most desire. The scales of my eyes take weight of what I refuse to see. Abruptly, Sisyphus pushes me out the door. I stumble into a vagrant who strangles my indifference. His outstretched hand makes a wish for spare change. The clink of coins is a bellwether that leads me to swap shoes with a sidewalk saint. Wow.
Wonderful, wonderful read there, Kate. And Jean, your thoughts?
You're taking lessons from Rex, haven't you? Hang on. Okay. I thought this was a great piece, a wonderful, and I would call this a brevity because it's only two stanzas long, although they're long lines. And I'm not sure where the cutoff is for the word brevity, you know. But very detailed. You know, I was looking at the first stanza and I thought, wow, I really like that. I like the second one as well. Abruptly Sisyphus pushes me out the door. I stumble into a vagrant who strangles my indifference. Hand makes a wish for spare change. The clink of coins is a bellwether that leads me to swap shoes with the sidewalk saint. And I thought that was so so nicely said, because once you're actually in it, face to face with someone needing your help, and all of a sudden you open up and you share. And, you know, you share a little more than you expected, I guess, you know, coins and shoes and, you know, all that good stuff. I mean, I just think it was a really nicely written piece and pulled together and a tale well told. So thank you so much, Jess Poppy. I enjoyed the piece very much. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. A great comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's one of my most enjoyable little pastimes, especially in train stations or in airports, people watching. It's amazing fun. So, yes, I thought this was, again, such a lovely, neat poem, so beautifully put together and telling a wonderful little story. It's so cool. So, now, did he actually, this is this last line has me slightly intrigued. But I'm trying to figure out in my little head whether he swapped shoes with a sidewalk saint, i.e. the vagrant, or he walked in his shoes for a while because he'd, you know, met him. I don't know. Anyway, it's a beautiful last line. And if it makes you think, it's even better, I think. So it was most enjoyable. Thank you, Just Poppy.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, you know, I like poetry that makes me think. I took this, well, I definitely took it as a wonderful story. I also thought there was some great metaphor in this. I did take that to mean the idea of walking in someone's shoes. Like, I didn't, it was about, you know, actually literally exchanging shoes, but as you were mentioning, the idea of putting yourself in somebody's place, of understanding where they're at. So much great imagery, and yeah, in only 92 words, which I would consider a brevity, and it really has a lot of impact. Wonderful imagery and metaphors, a great write on observations of people. I like how this is about expanding one's own mind and being willing to see what you haven't been able to see before. And I really like the mention with the scales of my eyes take weight of what I refuse to see. And abruptly Sisyphus pushes me out the door. I'm not 100% sure what they meant by Sisyphus, but because what my thoughts were on that is because Sisyphus was the one who pushed the stone up the hill over and over again, that maybe it's a representation of the idea of the going to work over and over again, doing the same things over and over again, but suddenly seeing things in a different way. So just a really intelligent and thoughtful write, and very well done. All right, let's see what we got next. And we definitely have tonight just really a lot of deep poems. I have to say kudos to Naomi for running this contest. Very cool. And up next we have Spared by Bluesman. And Jean, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes. This one there. There we go. Spared by Bluesman. There was a metallic taste in the still morning air as I left the shadowed boundaries of the old forest. I stepped into the clearing before me. Well, and yes, only moments ago it had been so alive with light. The hairs on my neck lifted up into the static mist that was descending to blanket the scorched earth that I just stumbled into not a moment too soon. I stood there in awe at the miracle that lay before me, amidst the carnage of Mother Nature's fickle wrath, saw the sunflower humbly bowing, awaiting blue sky. And then.
Great read, Jean, and a wonderful write by Bluesman. And Kate, your thoughts?
Beautiful. I really enjoyed this. It uses the words in ways that are different. They're not just what you'd expect in the sort of cliched world we live in. I stepped into the clearing before me and gasped. Only moments ago, it had been so alive with light. So, you know, he's not saying, oh, it was a nice sunny day and I was in the woods. He's actually giving you such a beautiful picture of how it felt. And then we have the fact that the sunflower was spared. And they do kind of, I mean, that's what I love about sunflowers. They're tall, much taller than I am, but also they follow the sun. And so we can see what they were dealing with, because the sunflower's head was bowed down because there wasn't any sun, and waiting for the blue skies to come back up again, which is basically saying nature can recover if you give it enough time. And don't scorch it to the point where there's nothing left of it. So, yeah, it worked on so many levels, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Bluesman.
Oh, it absolutely did. Wonderful comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought there was great imagery throughout this poem. And at first, you know, the first stanza had me a little bit going one different direction, you know, because I stepped into the clearing before me and gasped. Only moments ago, it had been so alive with light. Here I am thinking sunlight, you know, I'm not like real quick on things. And when I got down to that last stanza, I went, yep, that's it. That's the whole answer right there. You know, I stood there in awe at the miracle that lay before me. Amidst all the carnage of Mother Nature's fickle wrath, stood a sunflower, humbly bowing, awaiting blue skies. I thought the perfect title for this was Spared. Really nicely done. So great work, Newsman, and thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the same thing happened to me, Jean, when I read this earlier. I got to that ending and I had to go back and read again, which I think is a sign of a good poem when it ends in such a way that you go back and read. So, yeah, this is definitely beautifully written. And because obviously nature goes through cycles of birth and death and mm-hmm. you know, and destruction in life and, you know, and so to me, this really, that ending was so powerful and a great reminder of how nature strives even after destruction. So wonderful yep. imagery all the way through. And very well done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and let's see. Up next, we have A Whale of a Day by BRG. Sailing out in the channel off of the South Maui coast, on a bright sunny day when the winds die down and the water is calm, no sound but the gentle splashing of the water against our boat, when all of a sudden we hear a loud blow off our starboard side. A large mother humpback whale appears from the mystery of the sea, along with her baby right next to our little boat. The white of their wings under the surface makes the water appear to glow turquoise. Their majestic beauty makes us speechless. The mother's back looks like the eyes of a submarine as she turns to the side and hovers at the surface to let the baby nurse. Then they dive down into the depths, only for the baby to skyrocket back up and breach above the surface with glee and poem. And what a beautiful write. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, Kate, she did take some lessons from Rex. This is, I thought this was a wonderful.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not worried about it. I thought there was such wonderful imagery in this great brevity because you almost feel like you're there watching what's going on. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing in poetry when you can paint those pictures so clearly. You know, and I love that. Their majestic beauty makes us speechless. The mother's back looks like the side of a submarine. And she turns to the side and hovers over at the surface to let the baby nurse. Then they dive down into the depths, only for the baby to skyrocket back up and breach above the surface with glee. I thought that was just wonderful. It's a beautiful piece, and thank you so much for sharing BRG. I hope to see more of your work. Excellent.
Absolutely. Great comment. And, yes, I have to agree. I would like to see more of their work, too. And,
yeah.
Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes, another lovely picture in my head. I love it. Sailing out in the channel off of the South Maui coast on a bright sunny day when the wind died down and the water is calm. There is nothing more pleasant, especially if you're on a, you know, you're not on a motorboat, you're on a boat with sails, because you've got that majestic mast above you and the wind on the sails just flap, 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 flap. Lovely, it really is. It's very gentle, very comforting. So this was just, and then, so they're having a great day, beautiful day, and then suddenly they have the bonus of this amazing mother of a humpback whale. Oh, yeah. Along with her baby right next to our little boat. So, I mean, the boat must have felt like it was being dwarfed by this beautiful big creature. And they are majestic. They're beautiful. So, yes, I thought it was so well written. And just gave you that feeling, and especially that last line. I mean, I'm seeing it in my head, the baby, poof, boom, right out of the water and back in again. Oh, beautiful. Just the fun of being a little baby, a little child. There was no real problems to worry about. Wonderful.
Oh, I have to agree. I have to agree. Great comments. Yeah, I like how she uses her words to paint a picture and bring us into the moment. I have to say, I'm not 100% sure this is a real experience, but I'm nearly 100% sure just because of the way she describes it. And but I have to say, I'm actually quite envious. One of my bucket list wishes would be to actually observe whales, to be on one of those cruises where you get to see whales. And a moment like this would just be so, to me, inspirational. You know, and I love her attention to details, especially with the, as she turns to the side and hovers at the surface to let the baby nurse, you know, that attention to detail of that, how the mother turns and, you know, that they come up out of the water to allow the baby to nurse is great to me. And really just captures the moment and brings us into it with her. And yes, I too got a big smile out of the end lines with the only for the baby to skyrocket back up and breach above the surface with glee. You know, and you see that so much with so many different baby animals. You know, they love to play, and it's just an absolute delight to watch. So wonderful, right, and very well done. All right, let me go ahead and grab the next one. I've also never been on a sailboat either. I've been on other kinds of boats, but not a sailboat. Maybe someday that'll happen too.
Oh, you would love it. You would love it.
I'm sure I would.
Yeah, the same day you see the boat. All at one time.
Yep. Exactly.
I think we're missing the we're missing something here. Somebody has to say, "And what's coming next?" or something, because there's this horrible gap.
The fan said she was going to find a piece, so I just kind of went on to make a comment. Yeah, you do. Oh, no. Well, that's your job.
Oh,
that's your job now, Kate. Your job is now to say, "What's coming next?" That's how you really designate an assignment. Okay, Pam.
There you go. I figured that was pretty much just me talking to myself. But yes, that is funny, Kate, because I am such a creature of habit when it comes to shows. If I have a co-host posting a link, I'm like, "So what do we have next, Rex? So what do we have next, Weaver?"
I noticed the gap. I noticed that right away. I thought, "Oh, we're missing a line here, definitely."
too funny. All right. Up next, we have One Christmas by Betty Page. And Kate, would you go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
Yes, happy to. Always happy to read Betty's. One Christmas. My heart feels frozen. I'm gazing towards stars above. Tonight it's Christmas. Bright, colorful lights, pine trees all decorated, houses looking merry. Day fades into night, watching people come and go, laughing, holding gifts. It's been a long day. I've been sitting at the park, feeling so alone. I watch cars pass by, staring at houses hopeless, wishing for a home. Not the tree or gifts, not even decorations. I crave that pure love. Sure, I had a dinner. It was in and out goodbye, maybe an hour. I walked to my car, sat inside, wanting to cry. Gifts are for children. Sure, I shouldn't care. I got a little candy. Just it's not the same. When I was little, Christmases before were grand. They still are for them. I've been so abused. I've lost so much over years again and again. I feel so helpless, so depressed. I barely move. I stare into the skies. I look on the dash, hoping it's not a ticket. Someone's left a note. I stayed here for weeks. A car's not the same as home. Probably have to move. It's been this way for years. I can't say, just like Jesus, no room for me here. I'd cry, but I can't. Too broken to do so. I'm hurting real bad. I guess I'll open it. I see just what's inside this. I'm in awe. I cried. Never thought it'd be someone left me these gift cards so I can get food. There were so many Christmases. This feels like Christmas. Someone cares this much. A man walked towards me. He said he is my neighbor since I've been here weeks. He felt bad for me. He saw when my car broke down, leaving me stranded. My car is my home. I have nowhere to go, sorry. He said, it's okay. Please do not worry. That he cares about me too, wanted to gift me. He smiled, said, enjoy. God bless and Merry Christmas. It's then I felt joy. End poem.
Great read, Kate. And what a beautiful and emotive write by Betty. Of course, as always, she's got her strong imagery, her emotionally impactful lines with the 575 all the way through. And, you know, I like how this one is a strong reminder of how Christmas, the holidays, aren't always a happy time for everyone. And then I have to say, I agree with Betty. So, you know, as adults, we learn that we're not always going to get gifts. There's something nice about receiving even just a simple gift, you know, I do have to agree with that. And, you know, just the sadness in this and the way it tears at your heart. And then the act of kindness near the end, of course, is to me the most important part of the poem. You know, it's a wonderful write on the blessing of an unexpected Christmas gift in a difficult time. And besides the cards, the other great gift that was given was the understanding. My car is my home. I've nowhere to go. Sorry, he said, it's okay. You know, wonderful lines and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, this piece is a bit painful in the beginning. It really is when you think about the sadness that goes along with not having a home and not having somewhere to celebrate Christmas, you know. Yes, you got to spend time with her family or people, but to not actually have, like, I guess, the consistency of family in your world. But then she says, someone left a note. Then she goes on about the car breaking down. But then she says, guess I'll open it. I'll see just what's inside. And, you know, when you find out it was a bunch of gift cards that make a difference. A true difference in someone's life. It makes you kind of think, God, I wish I could do something like that for people, you know? Because something that may not have been much to the man who bought them, you know, to extend that hand and that gift just changed someone else's world for a while. And I think it was wonderful, and I think it was really, the thoughts were so well expressed throughout this piece. You know, a sad beginning, and then turns into this change that becomes something important, very important, you know, the magic of Christmas to me. So beautiful job, Betty, and thanks for sharing with us.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, wonderful comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
It's very sad. We know there are people in there, in the world, who don't have family or a happy, stable life, or even sometimes, as this particular poem says, not even a home, just a broken down car because you can't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the optimism. I think the optimism at the end just lifts the whole poem to the point where you think, oh, thank goodness, something good, you know. Because if you can't do something good for somebody at Christmas, it's never going to happen, is it? I wish Christmas was every day So people were so nice and so kind. And not so much keen on the carol singing part of it, but the other parts of it I love. Christmas is wonderful. So yes, I thought very, very well written and observed. And I thought it was beautifully written. Did enjoy the flow of it. It was really easy to read and listen to. So yes, beautifully done, Bessie. I really enjoyed it. And I'm glad there was that little light at the end of the tunnel, and that little light wasn't an oncoming train. So thank you for sharing.
Right, absolutely. Great comment. All right, and up next we have Greece, Tiny Part of Something Greater by Random Homo Sapiens. And Jean, would you give that a read for us, please?
There's a lot of it. Excuse me. Me. Okay.
You.
Cut it out, Kate.
Okay, be good. I'm going to be good.
No, that was too funny. It caught me funny. Okay, this is called Greece, Tiny Part of Something Greater by Random Homo Sapiens. Early evening in summer, all I truly desire is to be wholly alone, standing in front of the serious beauty of our universe as sown. Greece, my eyes bathed in 7 miles of tenderly curved bay. All people have gone, all their brilliantly busy plans to play. Deep, powdery, golden, rich sand garnishes an aquamarine sea. The universe is prettily painting and permanent in all that I see. Playfully rolling waves, elegant falling sun, most idyllic of days. Sky sits back patiently, pondering to paint an orange-red blaze. Warm, shallow, long beaches entice turtles to nest on land as I daintily imprint naked feet contours in darkened wet sand. The tide soothingly, caressingly rolls around over bare ambulatory feet. Human imprints swiftly vanish in the newly washed canvas feet. My being naturally regulates my breathing by gradually coming in. Delicately decluttering the mind allows the cosmic show to begin. Fleeting thoughts of my surroundings, I now sense the present. I can see, hear, taste, touch the world, and now smell its scent. Shimmering waves momentarily glimmer, glinting so gracefully. The hypnotic sea slowly purrs in and out for millennia. The moon peaks above mountains. The sun remains on my back. My mind is now altogether relaxed. Temporarily, nothing does lack. Age-old ancestors must have walked along with similar thoughts. I am part of all this absolute wonder, one of the connecting dots. Soles of my feet touching the universe touching me, a tiny part of something greater, an increasing realization of free. At a certain point, there is almost literally nothing on my mind, just the vibrations of the universe, soft, subtle energies defined. Joy lies at our feet, languishes in the ocean and up in the sky. Peace in everything around us, and no need to understand why. End quote.
Great read there, Jean. And what a beautiful write by Random Homo Sapiens. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, this lays it all out for you, doesn't it? The whole point of being, as it were. Bear with me a moment, I'm trying to find the piece I wanted. Yes, the part, first stanza, that was the one for me. Early evening in summer, all I truly desire is to be wholly alone, standing in front of the sheerest beauty of our universe has sown. Greece, my eyes bathed in 7 miles of tenderly curved bay. All people have gone, all with their brilliantly busy plans to play. But here's somebody who is happy. Particularly amazingly happy, but happy in the moment that he's in, where there's no one else around to impinge, and he can enjoy the beauty of the landscape and of Greece itself. But yeah, so this is talking of somebody who who's maybe not as happy with his own self as opposed to other people around him. He seems to have this need to not be in touch. But anyway, that's immaterial. Bottom line is it's a beautifully written poem, and it tells you exactly how it must have felt to be on that beach, looking at the sea and enjoying it and letting your mind relax, which is very hard to do. So very well done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment. And yeah, I really liked this. First of all, I like how they used their words to paint this picture of Greece. Deep powdery golden rich sands garnishes an aquamarine sea. The universe is prettily painting. Impertinence is all that I see. Playfully rolling waves, elegant falling sun, most idyllic of days. You know, there's a couple different things this speaks to me on. First of all, I think it speaks on the idea of the difference between loneliness and alone. Like, I think you can take time to enjoy being by yourself and enjoy time alone. There's also, and this really comes through in, where was that part? Age-old ancestors must have walked along with similar thoughts. I am part of all this absolute wonder, one of the connecting dots. And I thought this had brilliant imagery and brilliant and beautiful imagery, and really was a wonderful write on the whole idea of connecting with nature, but not just with nature, but with one's own history. So just a wonderful write and very well done. And Jean, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
After I got through the first three stanzas, I started doing okay. I just kept tripping. My tongue was just tripping. Anyway, I thought it was a wonderful write. Wonderful imagery throughout. Great images were painted, like, you know, because you would build on things and it would become more and more. I like the stanza, but I had to grab two others from my written comment. Warm, shallow, long beaches entice turtles to come nest on land. You know, I don't know about bass, but I get that image of those turtles coming up on the shore, you know, because it's common to find those images throughout, you know, YouTube or anywhere. You know, you can find them all over. And as I daintily imprint naked feet contours in darkened wet sand, who hasn't been on the beach doing that, right? I don't know, it's just all so relatable in a lot of ways. And I took up the last, the two next to the last stanzas and put those in my other comments. I just thought the imagery was great and the thoughts behind it were just well expressed. I mean, it's just a nice job. So thank you so much, Random Homo Sapiens. I screwed it up again. I couldn't read. Nice job.
Absolutely. Great comments. All right. And up next we have Memories Will Follow by Forgotten Dream. June skies stretch like worn faded sheets, periwinkle bleeding into indigo as the sun languidly reclines below the horizon. Party chatter pauses, and between the seas of people, you sparkle like cirrus in the night, guiding my feet closer. You laugh, a honeysuckle breeze as soft as velour. Hands ache to stroke, piano fingers, angled jaw, bony collarbone. But I gaze into crinkled olive eyes like a crystal ball, smoke parting to reveal that we can move slow. Let years germinate and bloom, relish in now, our memories together will follow. End poem. Oh, what another beautiful heartfelt write. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes, it is another lovely one. So many poems giving us deep feelings, deep thoughts, making us think about things. I think it's wonderful. and this, the memories will follow. It's true. You're living your life. You're going along neatly, doing what you need to do and what you want to do. And you're not thinking about the memories that you're making. Yeah, they're just there in your head. And when you need to think about honeysuckle and breeze as soft as velour and hands ache to stroke piano fingers, angled jaw, when you have those memories, it's a lovely thing to look back on. But yeah, it's made me think as well. I like that. That you have to, like a photograph album, you have a thing of the past now. You have to collect those little thoughts, memories and pictures, file them away for a time when it will make you feel happier, when things are not so happy. So beautifully written. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to say what I want to say. It's a beautiful piece with a lot of wonderful imagery. And I was going to pick up a stanza or two, you know. I love how it starts out. June skies stretch like worn, faded sheets, periwinkle bleeding into indigo as the sun languidly reclines below the horizon. But that was an intriguing and a nicely worded thought, you know, image that she painted there. But then I looked and party chatter pauses between the seas of people. You sparkle like Sirius in the night, guiding my feet closer. You laugh. And then it gets down into the next part, which is just as good. And then I read the last one. I like that too. So it's really hard for me to pick anything specific and point out, because I thought the whole thing just was really nicely done. Just like I say, wonderful imagery throughout and very enjoyable. I like that too. Yeah, and I have to say, the last few lines, I guess I would say, our memories together will follow. You know, we'll just live it and wait for it to happen, you know, and we'll be there. So I don't know, I just thought it was wonderful. So that's it. I'm done now. I'll be quiet.
Well, that was a great comment. You know, I love this, right? It was wonderful imagery and metaphors all the way through, beautifully written brevity. I like how it speaks on the importance of love and the importance of connection, both physical and emotional, and you know, speaks on the idea of spending that time together in order to create memories. I really like party chatter pauses in between the seas of people. You sparkle like Sirius in the night, guiding my feet closer. I like how that speaks on the thought of being somewhere like a party or, you know, very busy place where it's just you and that other person just feeling like you're alone despite being surrounded by people and it's just the two of you. Let years germinate and bloom, relish in now, our memories together will follow. You know, the importance of living in the moment. So wonderful, right, and very well done. All right, let's see what we got next. Oops, didn't grab the next one. Let me try that again. All right. And all right. Speaking Your Language by Lover of Words. And go ahead, please, Kate, and give that a read for us.
Certainly will. Speaking Your Language. What, you ask? Wondering what's going on behind my eyes that keep them smiling into the wet paint. It's Saturday, almost lunchtime. I'm on the ladder. You're below, paintbrush in hand. A few minutes before, you'd quipped at some statement of mine. Your brown eyes laughing with that glint they get when your affection turns clever. I pause. I can't take you behind my eyes, so I'm stuck with words. I could use some words like magic, or say that you brighten my world. The way those sun-dipped paint colors you have a knack for picking out transform a drab room. But you just chuckle with that glint again about how I have a knack for spreading it on thick. Nope, that won't do here. I just love you, I reply thinly. I love you covers a lot, but with so little. I don't know how to say the rest, but if you should press for more, I might add simply that standing there in paint clothes without benefit of cosmetics, bandana in hair, sweat on forehead, splashes on legs, feet in faded flip-flops, and tongue in cheek, doing nothing special but being you, you managed to stir up that same little pastel swirl feeling I got years ago, the first time I realized I wanted to kiss you. Yep, I'd say just that, no more, then return to my painting, taking care to spread a smooth, even coat, just the way you like it. Not too much paint on the brush. End poem.
Great read there, Kate. What a wonderful write by lover of words. And, I really like how this speaks on the different love languages that him and his wife have, and how telling somebody you love them can be such a difficult thing and simple thing at the same time. Especially when you know the person. And I like the humor in this. to me, there's just a great humor in the lines that say, I would use some word like magic, or say that you brighten my world the way those sun-dipped paint colors you have a knack for picking out transforms a dab room. But you just chuckle with that glint again about how I have a knack for spreading it on thick. Nope, that won't do here. That's obviously a man who has learned his wife's love language very well. I like that he allows us to be brought into such a personal moment. I thought this was a delightful and heartfelt write on the communication of love between two people, and it was very well done. And Kate, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
I did stumble a couple of times. Sorry about that. But yes, this was lovely. Again, we have the same thinking about love, thinking about your partner. And I like the fact that stuck for words, but he still manages to find some wonderful words that he put together here. I could use some word like magic, or say that you brighten my world. I love the cliches. The way those sun-dipped paint colors you have a knack of picking out transform a drab room. Yeah, so basically we have a lady here who is much loved, and her partner really appreciates her, with or without makeup, with or without the fancy clothes. He's just somebody perfect for him. And I think that's a lovely sentiment. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. And Jean, are you back with us? I will take that as a no, and go ahead and move on to the next write. All right. Up next, we have Moment by Scraps and Scribbles. And it goes like this. I saw a snowflake smash against a flower. The poetry was something of a lift. I felt with Blake forever in an hour. Such violence and paradox, a gift. I tried to count the beauties breaking me, more numerous than snowflakes, that's for sure. I felt submerged in something like the sea. I felt immune to me no need for cure. And as the crystal broke against the bloom, the world was quiet, private for a beat, as if its vastness now were just a room, the galaxy a house, and space a street. And then the whole thing shattered utterly. The moment burst, rejoined eternity. End poem. What a wonderful and thought-provoking write. And your thoughts, Kate?
Yes, this is as you say, a thoughtful, well thought out write. So yeah. There's somebody who's looking at their lives, looking around them, and understands that there's beauty everywhere. In as much as, you know, if you pay attention to it, there's beauty everywhere. But then he's just enjoying the world being quiet again, private for a beat, and then life rushes back in again. This is exactly how it's like if you want to calm yourself or to enjoy small things of life. And you can then just step out of it for a moment. You have to step right back in again, don't you? You've got no choice. Back to life. So, yes, I thought that this was a lovely observation of a moment, that particular moment in time. Very well done, Scraps and Scribbles. I enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. And yes, definitely. There is beauty to be found in the world. You know, as long as we just take time to observe what's going on around us. You know, I thought this was a wonderfully written sonnet, a great rhyme and flow, beautiful imagery and metaphors. I like how it spoke to me on the idea of comparing all the poetry, all the words, as in readers of poetry, you know, all the words that we take in throughout our life, even throughout a single day, can almost feel like a snowstorm to where it all starts to blend together. And yet each individual word is a snowflake, you know, worthy of observation. You know, I really like that he gave a nod, a tribute to poet William Blake. And the imagery of I felt submerged in something like the sea. I felt immune to me, no need for cure, you know, and wonderful lines there, and very well done. Welcome back.
Hello.
Thank you. Yes.
Did you get a chance to read Scraps and Scribbles poem?
I'm actually just looking over it now, and the few lines that I've gotten through, it looks like a wonderful poem, just a wonderful, wonderful sonnet. So I think I'm probably going to have to leave a written one on this, and I'll get back into the groove of reading with you guys again. Sorry. I hated to do that.
No problem. Oh. All right, well, up next we have Standing There by Greg Gall. And go ahead, Jean, and give that a read for us, please.
Yeah. There you go.
It would help if I actually push the button. There
That's
you go.
That's okay, because I thought it was me needing to refresh.
No, it was me just imagining that I had pushed the button, but not actually pushing the button.
I thought I was the only one with that kind of an imagination. I love it. Okay, so here we go. Standing there. I was just standing there beside the tum-tum tree and stood a while in thought, feeling like a dancer, whispering, waltzing, wandering, arms akimbo, then widespread, turning to the tune of my own voice's mellifluous music, floating on life's lonely state, thinking the thoughts of the inner me, the universe and all it can be, then to dance with the weed decks, after trying troubles to rear aim, only to have sudden joy and impermanence and change. Once finding elusive certainty, reveling in it, savoring of it, the trite things one thinks of, while just standing there, doing nothing at all, soulful sighs, fluttering flicks of awakening, end quote.
Great read there, and Jean, and what a delightful write. I like that the idea of dancing around the tum-tum tree, which is a tree mentioned in the poem The Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll. I thought this was absolutely delightful. You know, and I don't know if the tum-tum tree is actually something that's real or if it's just something that Lewis Carroll made up. Either one of them is completely possible. But to me, this had a spirituality to it. I like the idea of connecting with nature and freeing your own spirit through music and dance. I have to say, I really like the idea of turning on the music and just dancing around a tree. And I really like how this brings us into those inner thoughts, thinking of the thoughts of the inner me, the universe, and all it can be, and to dance with the wee deaths, the trying troubles to rearrange, only to have sudden joy and impermanence and change. You know, it's interesting how, you know, life can take those sudden turn of events, those sudden changes, and that we have to learn to adjust to. So wonderful rhyme, great imagery, and very well done. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, I love the thought of the tum-tum tree. It's so cute. I like it. And I love the alliteration. That was a hard one. Feeling like a dancer, whistling, waltzing, wandering, arms akimbo. Now that's a wonderful word. Arms akimbo, then widespread. Turning to the tune of my own voice. Mellifluous. Music. Oh, don't say that. Floating on it, on life's lonely stage. Beautifully written. I love the way it does actually flow so well. And then you have the last two lines. Doing nothing at all, soulful sighs, fluttered flicks of awakening. Ah, cute. Well, yes, I really enjoyed this. It was very sweet, very gentle, and it just made me think I want to be a dancer. Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure I will never be a dancer, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't be willing to dance around a tum-tum tree.
Yeah.
I just dance like nobody's watching.
Yes.
And Jean, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
You know, I really liked the piece very much. I loved the way it began. You know, I was just standing there beside the tum-tum tree and stood a while and thought. And then the next stanza I really did like as well. Feeling like a dancer, whisking, waltzing, wandering, arms akimbo, then widespread, turning to the tune of my own voice's mellifluous music, floating on life's lonely stage. I thought that was another, I don't know, the imagery was great. You know, that the... It drew you in, and it gave you, it was almost like a little dance in of the tongue when you were reading it. I don't know how many times I could have messed up Melissa with this stuff. I need to make sure. They're going to think you're stupid. I know how to say that word. But anyway, I thought it was a wonderful write. And I think that Greg Gall did a great job with this piece. And there is something about just being there and taking it all in and the peacefulness of the moment where you know you're just thinking over everything, and I think that it was just well done. It was really well done.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. All right, and up next we have Love Exists by Jenny Hunt 2017, who actually changed her name to Jenny the Deep. But like I said last night, I'll just keep calling her Jenny. It works for me. Yep. Just like I'll just keep calling Dave, Dave. So
there you go.
Yep. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
I certainly will. Love exists. As soon as I was about to give up on love, you came back into my life, making your way into my heart. All it took was one sorry magical kisses. All it took was one sorry magical kisses filled the night, and I was convinced that love does exist for me. All my past feelings for you sprouted up again when you kissed my yearning lips. The desire yet again came rushing through my hips. I cannot wait for the day that you can confess your love for me too, for I already love you. We may not have lots of money, nor do we have fancy belongings. As long as love remains in our hearts strong and true, I know we will be forever in euphoria. My one and only wish is you, my love. Life I can endure as long as I have you by my side. Content, as your love dries my tears and makes my negative thoughts disappear. You are the a la mode to my huckleberry pie. For many reasons untold, I know love exists. I thank you over and over for being my friend, my hero, and my lover. You finally loving me in return is my wish to come true. End poem.
Wonderful read, Kate. What a beautiful and tender write by Jenny. I really like this. You know, it's such a beautiful thing when a person who didn't have love before discovers that it truly exists. I really did like that line. You are the a la mode to my huckleberry pie. And I thank you over and over again, over and over, for being my friend, my hero, and my lover. You finally loving me in return is my wish come true. The other part I really like is where it says, we may not have lots of money, nor do we have fancy belongings. As long love remains in our hearts strong and true, I know we will be forever in euphoria. And, you know, I think the acknowledgement that it's not important to have a lot of money or to have fancy belongings, but really someone who loves you and supports you. So excellent write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, I thought this was a nicely penned piece, well expressed. And I'll take those last two stanzas as well, Pam, I'm with you on those. And I really much enjoyed it, and thanks for the share, Jenny. I liked it just as much as I did the first time. Wonderful job.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, again, another beautiful, expressive piece of poetry. Well done. Love exists. I mean, I can understand that. If you get hurt too often, you have this sort of knee-jerk reaction to it if it comes back into your life, thinking, I'm not going to get fooled again, don't even think about it. But it does, it's there, it exists. And if somebody can make you believe that they care about you enough to make you happy, then that's a wonderful life. And obviously this has happened within this story. So, beautiful. My one and only wish is you, my love. That's a lovely line, isn't it? I think it was very well done, beautifully expressed. And thank you for sharing, Jenny.
Absolutely. Great comment. And, all right, up next we have Two Singular Perspectives by Unexpected Bill. And it goes like this. I've pondered my life so many times, written prose, spit out venom and light, philosophical endeavor, pondering me, exploring all the feelings, emotional scale. I live in the light because I've suffered dark. I hug the pain like embracing my children. Warm blanket, woolen sheet, no comforter. Through through my time, I had no understanding what life's about, why we're on this planet. An epiphany happened. Light bulb came on. I know what life is, so simple yet complex. The secrets are in the pain, also in the joy. Whispers of longing, wanting, and desire. Funerals and weddings, birthing of a child, graduation ceremony, or visits to the ER. Horror and exasperation, smiles and thrills, hugging my mother, riding the motorcycle. I would go on, but I believe you get my drift. Life is about only one thing, love, kind, wonderful, peaceful love. It's the reason for everything. Every action is linked to love. Working overtime, family benefits, remodel the house, unempty nesting, kiss the love of my life, obvious in the morning, music starts. My life has been spectacular. I look forward to the rest, the here before, the hereafter. I look ahead and drift back, remembering how I've loved the triumph and the understanding. We write many, many love stories, words, chapters, and paragraphs. The whole is greater than the sum. Life is an ongoing series of love stories, some short, some long, some tragic, but every single word we write will always be from two singular perspectives. End poem. And a wonderful write by Unexpected Bill. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was just most excellent. I really did. Incredible references throughout. And thoughts, just thoughts of things going on. The one line that really got me, and I think that I have, I grabbed this one. This is what I grabbed. I'm going to do it this way. Because I've got to do it this way, otherwise I'll be like, again. The lines I like the most, the stanzas I like the most. My life has been spectacular. I look forward to the rest, the here before, the hereafter. I look ahead and drift back, remembering how I've loved. The triumph is the understanding. We write many, many love stories, words, chapters, and paragraphs. The whole is greater than the sum. Life is an ongoing series of love stories, some short, some long, some tragic. But every single word we write will always be from two singular perspectives. I thought that was wonderful. It's really wonderful. The rest of it was as well, but I really, that the here before, the hereafter really caught my ear, and I just, honed in on that, and I love it. I think that whole standard is wonderful, and the ending is great. So thank you so much, Bill. Great job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have to agree. So great comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Sorry, just grabbing my mute button again. Yes, two single perspectives. Yeah, it is exactly that. You live in light, you suffer in the dark. It's just a note to how difficult things can be and how living can sometimes be very hard. And you do wonder, everybody does, when things are hard, things are difficult. You're thinking, what is going on? Why am I here? Why is life like this? It should be easier, and it should be easy for everybody. Wouldn't you just love to know that everybody was equal in the happiness they had, the food they had to eat, the money they had to spend. So yes, life is simple but complex, and it's coming to terms with that. I think is to understand that that is the way it is, and learn to, what is it, roll with the punches? Is that a line? Yeah. So I think this is very well. Very well written and very well put out there. So thank you for that, and thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I really liked this. I thought it had heartfelt and thoughtful lines all the way through. Great imagery. I like how it speaks to me on the ups and downs of life and how they both shape us into the person that we are. And I like how it speaks on the importance of love. Life is about only one thing, love, kind, wonderful, peaceful love. And I like how it shows an appreciation for his own life and his children and the love he has. I really like, and I think anybody who's been through difficult times in life can relate to this. I live in the light because I've suffered dark. I hug the pain like embracing my children. You know, that idea that when you know you've been through, you know, dark times yourself, you want to make sure other people get that light that they need, that love and kindness that they need. So excellent write and very well done. All right, let's see what we have next. Some Echoes Never End by Paul D. Fisher, Ph.D. And Jean, would you read that for us, please?
Did you put that one up there?
I did put that one up. Oh, no, that one I know I have up for sure.
Okay, well, I've refreshed 4 times, maybe 5, and it's still not on my phone. No, no, how do you find it?
I'll go ahead and do that again.
Sometimes if you just click on history, it gives you a bigger, more lines, and you'll find it's probably higher up somewhere.
Well, that was the thing. I refreshed the whole page, and I did scroll down as far as it would let me. It's not there on mine, so it's not a big deal. Paul D. Fisher. Some Echoes Never End, right, Dan? Some Echoes Never End by Paul D. Fisher, PhD. There are traumas that add triggers of mind, sounds of dead women and military men. The body goes on full alert, ancient survival modes never end. Get a new Maytag washer, all kinds of computer controls. Find out some cycles sound like chopper flying for base shot full of holes. The 4th of July is hard for combat vets. Sounds like perimeter probing attacks. Vets might go to the basement with vodka, loud rocks, scared pets. Some smells hit gut level, taking unawares. Petrol smells like aircraft fuel. Cooking meat can trigger night terrors. Hard to explain even to one who really cares. People from the country's veterans fought in many key flashbacks, tension, and rage. Watch out for what is on TV or on the newspaper page. But isn't there hope? You betcha. Stay away from avoidable stress. Free VA care. Take your Cymbalta and get plenty of rest. I have finally made peace in my war and with my memory. Namaste, brothers. May you find peace, too. And home.
And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Dear, I was reading it again. Yes, I can imagine. I'm sure I've heard this one before, but I can imagine the 4th of July would be hard if you were a vet, because the sounds must be so similar to the sounds you would have heard then. So, yeah, go to the basement with a bottle of vodka. I don't blame you. And, again, smells are so evocative that you only have to smell, like, for instance, your petrol, and there you are, you're beside the aircraft, and putting the fuel into the galley and meat's being cooked. And yes, again, memories. Yeah, so what he's saying is try to avoid stress and try to live a quiet, peaceful life for your own sake. And then maybe you'll get a little bit of peace from your memories. So I thought it was very well, and I love that Namaste, brothers. It's really nice. So very well written. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
Okay. I thought these were well-expressed thoughts throughout. Wonderful advice offered. And it's all such a hard thing for so many to deal with. All the servicemen, you know, that have to deal with all these horrendous memories and the triggers. You know, I just can't imagine. I get triggered enough on just silly stuff. I cannot imagine being triggered on such a level, for real. And I'm really not trying to be funny. I'm just being honest. You know, so who would think about buying a washing machine, you know, and the sound and how that can affect someone? I mean, it's hard stuff to have to come to terms with every day. But I think that this is just really well done. You know, I love the last couple lines, you know, but isn't there hope? You betcha. Stay away from avoidable stress. You know, I think that's really a waste of money. I think that was really well stated. So nice, and thanks for sharing, Paul D. Fisher. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Wonderful comments. And, the imagery in this is strong. I like the straightforward language, you know, and the way he shares with us about a very difficult and important subject of PTSD and the men and women who serve their country and how difficult it can be when you come back. And like you brought this up, Babbler, the 4th of July part where, you know, it is that extra the loud noise, you know, and everything, it just becomes so overwhelming. And I like how this speaks on how important mental health is and the idea of trying to find peace from the inner turmoil that they suffer from. So excellent write and very well done. All right. Let's see what we got next. All right. As I was by Lockdown Lark. And let me count back. And yes, Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
I most certainly will. As I was. Lockdown Lark, another wonderful name. You are as I was. In love, you were born. Part of life because and to love living sworn. Your destiny walks with me, whether at work or at play. I'll always try to help you see the worth of living for today. You are enchantment in a dance, giving the sense that we belong, the exhilaration in romance. You are why I sing this song. You are as I was, in love you were born, part of life because, and to love and to live loving sworn. Now resting in my twilight, as I was sustains me now, to see you blossoming bright. So thankful for destiny's bow. Every day you fill me more with wonder of all that is being. Nothing can I greater adore than the two I am now seeing. You are as I was. In love you were born. Part of life's because and to live loving sworn. End poem.
Wonderful read, Kate. You know, I really liked this, you know, all the way through. It's beautifully written. I like that he dedicated it to his two daughters, dedicated to my two daughters, one who is a Mad Harry fan and also inspired by a song by Harry Styles. But, you know, this is beautifully written. And you can tell, you know, that even before the AM that it seems to be about his children. Especially with the repetitive line of "you are as I was, in love you were born." You know, it's an unfortunate thing that doesn't happen for every child, but it is, it's such a beautiful thing and a blessed thing when a child is born out of love. I really like the repetitive line, which gives it a nice part, which gives it a nice lyrical quality. And now resting in my twilight as I was sustains me now to see you blossom bright, so thankful for destiny's bow. Wonderful lines and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts? Did Jean say be right back, or is she on mute?
I
was just on mute.
Oh, cool.
So,
you're back.
I didn't really go anywhere. I was just trying to be quiet because I had to cough. But I thought this was a nicely penned piece by Lockdown Lark. And it was nicely lyrical. I agree with you about that, Pam, for sure. But now resting in my twilight, as I was sustained. Wow, let me try it again. Now resting in my twilight, as I was sustained me now, to see you blossoming bright, so thankful for destiny's bow. Every day you will fill me more with wonder of all that is being. Nothing can I greater adore than the two I am now seeing. And it was a nice piece dedicated to his daughter. And it was just that good. So, good job. That's Dan Luck.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment. And Kate, you did a beautiful read of that. Your thoughts?
Again, my apologies for stumbling a little bit. I do apologize for that. But it was a delight to read. And I particularly like now resting in my twilight. That's a lovely line. So I'm not getting old and decrepit. I am resting in my twilight. That's going to be my motto from now on. And this again, every day you fill me more with wonder of all that is being nothing. Oh dear, sorry about that. With wonder of all that is being, nothing can I greater adore than the two I am now seeing. So yes, I think it was a lovely ode to somebody who's loved and thought about and how much they mean to someone in their lives. I would love something like that to be written for me. It's a lovely sentiment. So thank you for sharing Lockdown Lark.
It really is. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. All right, and most likely our last poem of the night, and the three carryovers we have, I will put on a different show, and when I know which one that'll be, I'll let them know. And is To You the Poet by Way Down Upon Joy. I've always saved sweet memories my senses would imbue, those of clear water, clean, serene, the thrill of nature too. For as a child, love came my way, forever reigned supreme, yet nothing would prepare me for ways you unlocked those dreams. You never knew you were the one, perhaps you never will, for silence is a subtle key, and you, my friend, had skill. Not speech, but actions woke my soul, sent spirit soaring free. You shared your love in sweetest song with thoughts I felt fit me. You led me down a country lane for river and seashore, through scented woods or through blue skies, all this and so much more. You took the maiden, made her see the woman she'd become. Your lyrics shared perfection's soul in which joy could succumb. Each night I teem in your embrace, dreams tracing all your words. Your tunes would soothe as lullabies, sweet song of mocking birds. My road in life would take a turn, and I would write poems too. I'd share soul peace places I had been, propose a novel view. A poet's heart can never keep those secrets locked away. Thanks, dear, are due. I found this true, some thought not in my alley. A simple start, but in my heart, the first of many more. I thank you now, in my own way, for opening that door. The years have passed, and we've moved on the way that people can. Profound, unbounded love I found within a gentle man. and poem. And what a beautiful write. And Kate, your thoughts?
I'm just having a quick look at the AN, and what's written here is, I had come across an idea to write a letter to someone that entered your life in a casual way, but had taken you to new heights. This is my dedication to the special someone who did just that through his lyrics and songs. I began writing poetry. Isn't that lovely? So inspired by somebody to write, and thank goodness for that, because this is lovely. To you, the poet. Hmm. So yeah, again, lyrical and beautifully written, and again, there is no speech but actions woke my soul, sent spirit soaring free. You shared your love in Teresa's song with thoughts I felt fit me. Yeah, lovely sentiment and a lovely thought that somebody who probably may not even be in touch with you, maybe somebody on the interweb, you know, these people who do all that kind of thing they do on, they play their own songs and everything. Lovely idea. So yes, beautifully done. Very interesting. And I liked it. It was sweet. So thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. And I too really like that part that mentioned, you know, actions and not words. So great comment there, Kate. And your thoughts, Jean?
Well, I thought this was beautiful. Each stanza was wonderful. And I love the rhyme and meter of it. Yes. And the stanzas that I leaned into. I lost it just like this. You led me down a country lane to river and seashore, through scented woods or through blue sky, all this and so much more. You took the maiden, made her see the woman she'd become. Your lyrics shared perfection's soul in which joy could succumb. And then it was each night I'd teem in your embrace, dreams chasing all your words. Your tunes would soothe as lullaby, sweet song of mockingbird. My road in life would take a turn and I would write poems too. I'd share a soul place as I had been, propose a novel view. I thought it was just beautiful. Someone who steps into your life and makes you, doesn't make you, but has you seeing things from a different perspective and giving you a new direction without even intending to. I thought it was just wonderful. Joy does such wonderful work, and this is no exception to that rule. But thank you, Joy. Appreciate the share.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is beautiful. It's a lovely, heartfelt write on the ways music and lyrics can touch us deeply, and how someone can make an impact on our lives, as you were mentioning, Jean, with just mm-hmm. such simple you know, gestures, their actions, their words, or you know, even their music. And I like how she wrote about this person who helped to shape her into the poet and person she became. So just a wonderful, heartfelt write and very well done. And this has been a great show, wonderful poetry. Naomi, I hope you feel better soon. Take care of yourself. Jean and Kate, thank you for being my Twisted Sisters. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Make sure to keep an eye out on all the contests and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And Jean, anything you'd like to say?
No, thank you everybody for sharing the time with us and sharing poetry. And Kate and Tim, it was awesome to be here with you guys and have a good time. I just thank you, everybody, and I hope everyone enjoyed the show as much as we did. Excellent work. Am I by myself?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Kate, as always, for sharing with us. And we will catch up again sometime tomorrow.
We certainly will. Okay. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it. It was great fun. And we'll do it again.
Fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Love you,
okay, bye. My dear. Bye-bye. Bye, Pam.